God is good. And all the time. It is great to see each and every one of you this morning. Hey, anybody chilly this morning? It was a little crispy out there today, wasn't it? Yeah, I had some folks from Iowa in the first service, and they thought it was balmy, but you know. Anyway, well, I welcome you. My name is Eric Dirks, and it is a joy to be your pastor and welcome you this morning. Thank you so much for your presence. If you would turn with me in your bulletin, we have many announcements, so make sure that you pay attention to these announcements on the front page. Actually, I guess it'd be the second page. First page on the inside. One thing I want to lift up, and I don't see my wife, Jamie Dirks. How many? Do we have any tags left? Four tags left? Six. Two, four, six, eight. Anyway, we have a tree out here. It's in the announcements, but Angel Tree. There are tags on there. We have adopted three families, and folks have split those out and put codes on them. And many of you have already taken your tag, and that is awesome. But we have six more tags, and those gifts need to be here next Sunday. So if you would like to adopt a child in a family, make sure you take one of those tags. It tells the sizes, it tells what they need, et cetera, et cetera. So just make sure when you bring your gift next week that you put the tag on the outside of the wrapped package. And that way we can put the family and the package together. Otherwise, we're going to have to open up the package and kind of guess where it was supposed to go. So this is a great mission of this church because, you know, this time of year, there are many families, but many children especially, that do not have the opportunity to wake up on Christmas Day and have a present or two underneath the tree for them. And so this is a way for us to help minister to those families and to provide wonderful gifts. And so if you feel a call to do that, God's tugging at your heart, grab one of those tags off the tree and do that if you would, and then have the gift back by next week, please. I thought about waiting for this for joys and concerns time, and this would definitely be a joy, but I want to share it now. I have been blessed to see this young man grow and just be a part of this wonderful church, and I am so excited for him. Robert Riggs is now an Eagle Scout. He's right back there in the corner. And he, just an amazing young man, he and his family. And so they are, of course, it's Troop 34 right here. And his court of honor is going to be January 8th. And he wants all of you to be there. January 8th, right here at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, January 8th. So make sure that you are present to celebrate with him in that regard, because he has worked hard and come a long way. And I just give God praise for you, Robert. Thank you so much. You have a couple inserts in your bulletin. I invite you to take a look at those. Christmas poinsettia orders. If you want to buy a poinsettia or two or three, whatever, just because, or if you want to buy them in honor or in memory of someone, make sure you fill this out and put it in the offering plate later on, offering basket, excuse me, later on in the service. We will put an insert in the bulletin at some point, probably Christmas Eve. I can't remember when we do that for sure, with all of that information on there. Put your check with this. If you want to fold it up with it, that's great. And in the memo, just put that it is for the poinsettia orders. Also, study guide, make sure that you take this home. As Justin will say later on, and with the joys and concerns in the bulletin, take this home, and that'll give you a way to start your day focused on God. And it's just, it goes along with the sermon notes that we're going to be taking later on today. So make sure that you do that. Please make sure you pay attention. We have something big going on here this coming Saturday night. So a week from last night, it's the Christmas Cantata. We had rehearsal here last Wednesday night, and this whole place was filled with choir members. And so that didn't include Spark and Keyboard Kids that are going to be joining us on December 11th for this Christmas cantata. So make sure it's at 6:30 on the 11th. Make sure you get here early so you can find a seat, because I have a feeling it is going to be tight in that regard. If you can't make it on the 11th, December 10th is at Cedar Grove Baptist, and December 12th is at First Baptist. So a week from tonight will be First Baptist. They're all at 6:30 p.m. Hope you can make it to this this cantata here at our church. It'll be a great time, a lot of fun, and very powerful. So again, read all of your announcements this morning. Put them next to your calendar so you can be aware of what's going on. It is just a great time of year as we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. You ready for a wonderful worship service this morning?
Yes.
Excellent. Let's have an opening prayer, and then I have something that I have to share. Do you see a new face behind the piano? Yes, Mark Lewis, our new pianist. And Gail's helping us out today on the organ, too. Make sure you share your appreciation for her. So I don't know which is doing the prelude, but I'll just pray and let them take care of the rest of that. How about that? So let's pray this morning. Dear God, first of all, I just give you thanks for this day. Thank you for all the plans that you have for us, the way that we were on your mind before we were even awake to this day. Thank you, God, for this church, for all of those who have come before us to make this church what it is today. And I just pray that your powerful anointing is upon us so that as this church looks to the future, your tremendous Spirit, your liveliness, God, your energy, everything about you is involved in the ministries of this church as we look forward. Thank you for all of those, Lord, who have both shown up and those who are listening on the radio and the internet. We just give you praise. May your great hands reach out and just hug those who are out there across the United States and the world listening on the internet and the radio, God. We know that you're here, but we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence, God. So anoint us in Jesus Christ's holy name. Be with us. Wash over us as we gather to worship you. Help us focus on you, the only one that really matters. Give us whatever we need, Lord, this morning. Healing. Whether that's physical or spiritual or mental, whatever it is, God, give us courage. Empower us to do your will. Be with this church. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Make us one with you and one with each other. Amen.
We will have the lighting of the Advent wreath. This morning, Mike and Adela Arthur will be doing the honors.
We light this candle as a symbol of proclamation. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us to the way of salvation. O come, Emmanuel.
In Luke 2, verses 4-7, it says, Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Shalom is a way of saying hello and goodbye in the Hebrew language. It means peace. To the prophets and to Jesus, shalom also meant justice, righteousness, freedom, and everything that would bring final harmony among all human beings, all living creatures, and God. Shalom is the ultimate salvation for God's creation. Is this an impossible dream? Not if we believe that the Word is the full creative energy of God at work in the world.
Let us pray. Dear God, as we try to get our lives together, help us glimpse the master pattern of harmony that you intend for your creation. Shalom, God. That is our greeting, and this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us as we sing the second verse of O Come, Emmanuel.
Those hymn books in your hand, and if you'd please stand, we will sing our song of praise, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, found on page 196.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, come to see.
kid. If the kids will now come forward for Kids Corner, you're going to spend time with Mickey Lang this morning.
A little slower, Mark. We go a little slower. How about I just start? I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Good morning. Oh, look at it. It's so good to see everybody. Well, I have something this morning. I have a story that a friend of mine, Sean Miller, shared with me this week, and it was so good that I asked her if I could bring it and share it with you this morning. Do you know her? Grant and Grady, do you know her? Who's Sean Miller? That's their grandma. That's right. Anyway, she said I could share this story with you, and Miss Deanna's going to help me by holding the mic because I have to have three hands this morning. So this is the story that I want to share with you. Just a week before Christmas, I had a visitor, and this is how it happened. I had just finished my chores and had gone to bed when I heard a noise out in the living room. So I went out to see what was there, and to my surprise, Santa Claus stepped out from behind my Christmas tree. I was so shocked, I said, oh, but before I could say a word, he put his finger to his lips so I wouldn't say a thing. But I noticed something about Santa Claus. He did not look happy. You know, Santa's a jolly fellow. He smiles and he says, ho, ho, ho. He did not look happy. He had a tear in his eye and he looked kind of sad. And before I could ask him what the problem was, Santa said three words to me, teach the children. Well, I was puzzled. I didn't understand what he meant. And he knew I'd be puzzled. And so he pulled out from behind the tree a big Christmas sack like this. And before I could say anything else, he again said, teach the children. And into the bag his hand went, and out he brought a fir tree. Now, I'm going to put it right here. Can you all help get that straightened out when I sit that down on the floor so it doesn't fall? Oh, it stayed up. Very good. Thank you. I stood there wondering what he meant. Well, he put that fir tree out on the mantle of the fireplace, and he placed it there, and he said, teach the children. Teach the children that the green of this evergreen tree stays green all year. And that is a sign showing us, showing all the people, the hope and the promise that Jesus has given us of everlasting life. And notice how all the needles on the fir tree point up toward heaven. They're to remind us and turn our thoughts to our heavenly home. Next, Santa reached into his bag and pulled out a star. Teach the children, Santa Claus said, and he placed it on the tree. Well, we're going to put something else up there. Wait just a second, okay? Teach the children that the star was God's sign of his promise. God had promised to send us a Savior. And when he sent us a Savior, he placed a star in the heavens to show us that he had kept his promise. Next, Santa reached into his bag and pulled out a candle. You knew it. There we go. I'm going to put the candle up here. Candles show us that Jesus is the light of the world and that he is with us in all of our dark places. Next, Santa reached into his bag and pulled out a little present. Teach the children, he said, and he placed the present under the tree. Would you put that under the tree? Thank you. Teach the children that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the most precious gift of all to us. What is that precious gift? What? Jesus, that's right. And that wise men brought gifts to Jesus and gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh, and that we should give gifts with the same spirit that the wise men gave their gifts to Jesus. Next, Santa reached into his bag and pulled out a candy cane. We see candy canes around Christmas, don't we? The candy cane is shaped like a shepherd's crook. You know, the shepherds carried this with them. And you know why they carried it with them? It had this curve at the top. And if a sheep started wandering off, they could take that and they could put it around the sheep and pull the sheep back into the fold. And Santa wants me to teach you that this is a symbol of the shepherd's crook, that we should help bring other people into the fold that have gone astray. And it's a sign to us that we are our brother's keeper, okay? And we're going to put that on the Christmas tree. We put it right about there. Stay. Next, Santa reached into his bag and pulled out an angel. Teach the children, he said, that the angels, thank you, that the angels were the ones that announced the great gift that God had sent. They sang the good news of Jesus' birth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill to all men on earth. Then I heard a little tinkling sound. A bell, that's right. And Santa reached in and pulled out a bell and put that on the tree. And he said, teach the children that the bell has a sound just like when sheep are lost and they are wearing a bell. That's how the shepherd finds them and brings them back into the fold. And the bell is a symbol of guidance and return. Then the last thing that Santa reached into his bag and pulled out was an ornament of himself. And he said, teach the children the true meaning of Christmas, and not to put me at the center of it, because I am just a humble servant of the one who is. I'm this humble servant of Christ. And if you look at this, what's Santa Claus doing? What's he doing? Can you tell what he's doing? He's kneeling at Jesus' feet. He's taken off his hat. What's he doing? He's praying. And who's he praying to? He's worshiping Jesus. That's right. He says, even I, Santa Claus, bow down and worship Jesus, our Lord. So now Santa looked at the tree, and for the first time I saw a twinkle in his eye, and he said, teach the children, remember the true meaning of Christmas. So, wasn't that a good story? I'm so glad she shared that with me. Would you all say a prayer with me now? Okay, let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each child here, and we just thank you that we want to know the true meaning of Christmas, that everything that surrounds us at this time of year, we want to look for Christ in all of it. And all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And don't forget your little cups. That's okay. I'm going to put it all back in the bag anyway. Let's get our little cups. Can you get those? Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If you all would please, while the children are collecting change for missions, turn to your hymn books to page number 218. We will sing together, It Came Up on the Midnight Clear. Our joys and concerns this morning. I remind you again, as I usually always do when we do when we're up here every Sunday, the names are included on your bulletin for a reason. They're included for you to take them home and remember each one mentioned there. Those that are sick and needing your prayers, those that are in nursing homes, and those that are in the armed forces, please continue to keep in your prayers. I also have some I would like to lift up this morning. Anna Kaler had a stroke last Tuesday, was hospitalized for 3 days, is in a rehab center now. And she is in St. Louis, and the church will have her address if you would like to send her a card. I know she would appreciate hearing from you. Also, Joanne Lewis's brother Arthur is near death. He is in Arizona. She and her brother Lynn flew there on Saturday to be with him. So please remember them in your prayers. Also, I have a note here from Jay Sterling. Thanks to everyone who supported me with your prayers and cards and phone calls during my recent surgery and return to the ER after complications. These 2 stays in the hospital have been very hard on me, but your support and Pastor Eric being there for June during the surgery and the visit from Justin during my last stay has gotten me back and on the road to recovery. Praise the Lord. Through the dark times, I hung on to Jesus and the words from the cantata song, "It's Gonna Be All Right." And Jay is here this morning. Praise the Lord. Also, I know that Greg Isabel spent time in the hospital this week. Greg is here this morning, so we praise the Lord for that, Greg, and hope you are on the road to recovery. If you would please bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning with full hearts. You bless us so abundantly, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being with us, no matter where the journey takes us. We know there are forks in the road. We know there are bumps in the road. But you're always there beside us, guiding us, leading us, letting us lean on you, being there for not only us, but also for family. We thank you, Lord, for our church family who supports us daily, lifts us up, supports us in their prayer lives. I know we each feel it. And I know from personal experience and just from those we have heard from this morning, as with Jay, we couldn't get there without each other. We thank you for always being there. We ask that you be with those that are needing you there with them for healing, touch, for strength, for courage. We ask that you be with us as we go through this week, knowing that the journey takes us in different places, but knowing that you're there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
If you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, the writer of Luke, what was his profession? What did he do? Okay, he was a doctor, not a Jedi Knight. So, different Luke. Yeah, it's a different Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. Whenever you have that, give you another moment to get that. Whenever you have Luke 2, verse 15, I'd like for you to hold your place and stand with me. And with me, say the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 15, says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This is the second week of our teaching series, Advent Conspiracy. The youth had an amazing service last week that started our season of Advent off by decorating the sanctuary. Isn't it gorgeous? Praise God. And Paul kicked off this teaching series with his message, Worship Fully. He had a powerful message for us, and after talking about how the news and malls and businesses announce their sales and say happy holidays, he concluded his message like this: "Is it their story to tell, or is it ours? Have we gotten to the point where we have gotten tired of telling the Christmas story and expect the mall to tell the story of Christ for us?" So when you're going out to get Christmas gifts, he said, and or receive them, have fun, but don't get so sucked into the consumerism that you forget the real reason why there is such a thing as Christmas. Ask yourself this question: what am I announcing to this world, money or Christ? And then ask which one really matters in the end. My prayer is that you've been thinking about those questions all week, because those are very powerful questions that, quite honestly, we need to remember throughout the year. Amen. What are you announcing to the world with your language, with your business, with your lifestyle? What is it that you announce to the world? Well, this week we're going to look at the idea of spending less, and again, focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. In order to get us thinking outside the box, I want us to pause and think about one pastor's short version of the history of Christianity. And his version goes like this: Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. What do you think about that? Is that an accurate portrayal? What are some ways that Christianity, especially around Christmas, has become an enterprise in America? Black Friday. The name says it all, doesn't it? Yep, Black Friday. It's interesting that, somebody else said something. Sale, 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 yep. It's interesting that the birth of a baby, God's Son coming to this earth, love, you might say, with the capital L, being born into humanity, has come to the point where if businesses don't have a good Christmas, they might close down. I don't know about you, but that scares me just a little bit. I have a clip here that helps us get focused with regards to Advent Conspiracy, and I'd like the guys to start that right now, please.
Consumerism and the promises that are attached to the things that we buy make it more than the exchange of goods. It truly is a religion, something that says, if you own this, you'll be happier. Your life will be better. It promises to do things for us that only religion can do, to bring happiness and fulfillment and contentment. It'll make your relationships work. If you just give your wife the right gift, some young men that I know watch these crazy commercials that if you spray some body spray on you, women will attack you, right? They think it actually works. By the way, guys, it doesn't. These things that we buy, they don't deliver on their promises. They're empty promises. So we end up ready to move to the next thing, buy the next thing, with hopes that it will somehow deliver. The saddest part of this consumeristic religion is that its highest holy day is the day we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Christ.
Last year was, like, for myself, really the first Christmas to where my heart was heavy. For the Christmases that I've wasted, not celebrating like the glory of, you know, our King, you know, the Eternal One, the One who came to save. It's like I don't want to miss any more Christmases not celebrating His life.
The promise of Advent is that one was born onto this earth, one that was fully God, became fully man, to bring peace on earth, to bring justice to all people. And that's the celebration that we share in. Let's join together and not allow it to be tainted by the false promises of this consumeristic religion. And instead, could we gather with family and friends and eat good food and tell good stories, sit with grandparents and with children, play and laugh and be reminded of God's grace and God's goodness and the promises of the scripture that are actually true, that actually do fulfill.
Did you hear that? Gather with family and friends, eat good food and tell good stories, sit with grandparents and children, play and laugh and be reminded of God's grace and God's goodness and the promises of the scripture that are actually true and that actually do fulfill. I don't know about you, but I can say an amen on that one, right? I mean, it reminds me of what the shepherds did. Do you remember? Luke tells us that they went with haste. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. They quickly went. They didn't meander, did they? They didn't mosey, right? They quickly went to see what was going on with this family, this new family, this Mary and Joseph and little baby. And they spent time with them. And then they left and shared their story with everyone. And I guess one thing I want to ask you today is, when is the last time that you spent time together? When is the last time that you actually spent time together and shared stories and reminisced and talked about your future together? When was the last time you've done that? When was the last time that you've actually gone out and shared what Christ has done in your life to other people? Oh, Eric, I've been a Christian most of my life. I've forgotten actually what Christ did in my life. It's been so long. Well, praise God that people in this congregation and even your pastor can say that. Been Christian so long, it's like, man, I forgot what it was like when I made that decision. Praise God we have that gift. Amen? No? Praise God we have that gift. Amen. I know, I surprised you, right? That's what it was. Praise God we have that gift. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, praise God that we have that gift. But you know what? It's not about us, is it? I mean, quite honestly, since you accepted Christ, since I accepted Christ, quite honestly, our entire faith should be wrapped around Jesus or God and God, one person, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, right? And secondly, wanting other people to experience the awesome gift that you have. That is the purpose of a Christian life. So why haven't we been doing that? Eric, you know, I think all the folks I know are Christian folks. Oh, bull hockey. If you're a teacher, if you're a student, if you're in the workforce, if you get outside your house, you know people who don't know the loving grace that Christ brings. Amen. Be excited about it. We advertise when toilet paper's on sale at a grocery store. Right? And I know that's pretty close to our heart. But my prayer is that Jesus is closer. Amen? And my prayer is that we would be much more excited than how many sheets we get on a toilet paper roll. I mean, I'm trying to be funny, but I'm kind of serious. You know what? We proudly share coupons when things are on sale, don't we? When's the last coupon you shared about Jesus' grace and salvation? Mom and Dad were with us over Thanksgiving, and on Thanksgiving night, we decorated our tree. And while we were doing that, I told them that one of my favorite memories of this time of year was when we decorated our tree growing up. Now, Mom and Dad were both teachers, and the household was kind of like our whole household now. It's crazy. I don't know if no one follows a teacher around, I don't think people understand how crazy it is this time of year, because they do a lot of extra things other than in the classroom. And so this time of year is always just crazy. And then you add my schedule on top of that with basketball and musicals and all these things. And it was just really crazy. And Thanksgiving, that night, if we didn't decorate our tree around Thanksgiving break, it would not get decorated until school got out for Christmas. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody? Okay, yeah. So it was a big deal, one that I really looked forward to, and we would sit down, you know, obviously with Thanksgiving, and then at some point, either that night or the next night, we would decorate our tree, and we'd get out, at that time, 33 and a third records, and that kind of dates me, doesn't it, Deanna? You know, yeah. Justin's going, what is that? Well, it's a black thing. It was about this big. And when you listen to it, it was ch-ch-ch-ch. No, anyway. So anyway, we would get out those records and we would listen to Christmas. And it was the first time we really kind of started looking forward to that next that next month. Once we decorated the tree, we would have a come-as-you-are party. Now, you see, my mom's mom lived with us, and so that was cool, right? She was already there. But then my dad's mom and my great-aunt lived in town, and so I'm sure they knew we were coming. But to me, it was a big deal. We would go down to their house, and they would be in their pajamas, and we would pick them up, and we would bring them up, and Mom had this big bowl, which I found out just this last weekend, it wasn't as big as I thought it was, but a big bowl of, it's amazing how everything's bigger when you're a little kid, you know. But anyway, this big bowl of eggnog, and we would share stories, family stories, and we would remember, and we'd think about our future. We think about what's going to happen. You know, those stories that you've heard 100 times, but, you know, maybe at the time you roll your eyes, but you really appreciate them because it defines who you are, those stories. Why is that one thing? Why is it that I remember that one thing? It was a time that I could take a breath. I could spend time with people I love most and listen to those stories and remember who I am. When's the last time you've taken time with your loved ones? When's the last time you shared stories and it was a time where you could kind of just focus back in and say, you know what? I remember now. This is who I am. At the very heart of this consumerism that we've been talking about is dissatisfaction and discontentment. Say that 5 times real fast. Here's a quote from, you heard it from Chris on the video. Chris and Rick and Greg are the three gentlemen who kind of came up with this Advent conspiracy idea. And here is a quote from them. We are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. Now, I'm going to back out of that because I know most people read ahead. So think about that. What we are searching for one thing that will satisfy us. Now, I don't know about you, but my opinion is one reason why we have issues with drug abuse, one reason why we have issues with alcoholism, one reason why we have issues with pornography, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Is people searching, right? People searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. And you know, this kind of goes back to the other idea that I just shared about sharing what Christ has done in our life. Maybe if we would just share the hope and the love and the joy. I'm not saying it's all peaches and cream, but I'm just saying, boy, that'd be good right now, wouldn't it? But I'm saying that foundation underneath your life, that no matter what you're going through, you do have that joy underneath there going, saying, my relationship is with the one who created everything that is, all that I don't know about, and all the amazing things that I do know about. That's that foundation. And that's what we should be sharing with all the folks that are searching. We are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. Yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions. You see, the same chemical reactions that happen in our brain whenever we're doing this shopping, this consumerism type shopping, this addictive type shopping, it's the same chemical reactions. Those endorphins are going off in your brain, just like whenever you drink alcohol or whenever you have drugs or sex or anything like that. Those endorphins are all the same. We are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us, yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves and God's plain command to love Him above all things. Amen? It's not that we necessarily want more. It's that what we want is something we can't buy. And you know, the amazing thing about it is we work so hard for the money that we bring into our house, and then we let it dribble away on stuff that doesn't even matter many times, right? And yet, God has made it so we don't have to work at all for the one thing that really matters. Now tell me why that is. And yet we refuse it. Right? Do you think if it cost us, maybe we'd work for it a little bit more? Is that what the situation is? Honestly. I mean, do you think as humans, if we had to work for our salvation, right? If we had to work for it, if it costs a little blood in our lives, sweat and tears in our lives, do you think it would mean more to us? It would be like an accomplishment in our life? What I'm asking a question. It amazes me. God has given us a free gift in Jesus Christ to have a relationship that will satisfy all those things. Endorphins would go crazy in your mind. And yet for some reason we think we have to buy things to be happy. We think we have to drink alcohol, some of us, to be happy. Or, you know what I mean, on and on and on. We are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us, yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves and God's plain command to love Him above all things. It's not that we necessarily want more. It's that we want what we want is something we cannot buy. You see, the Christmas story has been bought and sold and marketed and commercialized for hundreds of years. Yet the story remains deeper and more meaningful than most of us often realize or take time to understand. Why would God do that? The answer can help us go from life-absorbing shopping lists this Christmas to life-altering significance. When Jesus came to us, He came in simplicity to a humble couple who had very little money. So the true meaning of Christmas has never been about stuff, has it? I mean, think about it. God himself came, you might want to call it the capital L, love, right? Jesus came to us, humanity, and over all the years, through all the prophets and everything else in the Old Testament, God was trying to tell humanity what God wants, right? And they got the justice. They got, boy, if you don't follow the rules, you get penalized. And finally, God says, okay, I'm just going to send the baby Jesus, and you got to wrap your arms around this baby, and you got to love this baby, because that's what I want. You hear what I'm saying? Who doesn't want to wrap their arms around a baby? I have to admit, when I look at kids, or our pictures from when Paul was born and David and Stephen, I find myself looking over the shoulder of someone else holding them. I think I was always afraid I'd break them when they were newborn or something, you know. But yeah, who doesn't want to wrap their arm around a tiny little infant and say, oh man, praise God. And that's what God wants all along. If nothing else convinces you that Christmas isn't about buying things, think about this. Jesus was born on hay. Anyone who's experienced a child being born, think about that for a minute. Jesus was born in straw. Now, does that sound fun to you? Does that sound clean to you? Cattle chewing their cud. Right? Well, it's a pretty straightforward message today, and that was it, folks. Keep Christmas focused on Jesus, the reason for this season, and all that Jesus is about. Spend less so that you can give more, where lives are changed and where lives are saved. Next week, we're going to talk about some ideas of giving, but remember that the reason we fall into consumerism is that we are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. Yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, any boy who has sprayed Axe on him and hoped the commercial would happen has found something different, right? Remember he said that in the... Yeah. I think some of those commercials need to be rated, by the way. Somewhere between R and X. That's a whole other sermon, isn't it? Remember, the reason we fall into this consumerism is that we are constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us, yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves and God's plain command to love Him above all things. Remember, it's not that we necessarily want more, but the thing is, what we do want, we cannot buy. Amen. Consider spending less this Christmas so that you can give more to change lives. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you for this awesome congregation, Lord, and we give you praise for the blessings, the gifts, the talents that you have bestowed upon this congregation to save lives. And I just ask, God, that today, right here and right now, in Jesus' name, that you bring an anointing that is so strong upon this congregation, that we will change the lives of this community because of your love and your grace. Help us, each of us, each one of us in our daily lives, Lord, be that person that proclaims your salvation and not a consumerism of things, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, I invite you to turn to I Come With Joy. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. It's on page 617 in your hymnals, I Come With Joy. Those who are helping with Holy Communion, would you please come forward at this time? come together today to celebrate an awesome and amazing gift that we've already spoken of this morning, that God gave to us, His Son, Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is, this man who has changed so many lives only lived for 30-some years. Isn't that amazing? We celebrate His birth, but you know what He wanted us to remember more than anything was His death. His death and His resurrection. And so today, with Holy Communion, we celebrate His death and His resurrection, what Jesus chose to do and what God directed Him to do to bring us a relationship with God, a life-saving relationship with God. You remember the story whenever the Hebrew people were in Egypt and God was telling Pharaoh through Moses, "Let my people go," and he finally just got to the point where he was going to send the angel of death and kill all the firstborn in Egypt. And he told Moses, he says, "Spread the blood of the lamb over your doorpost." I hope this is sounding familiar. "Spread the blood of the lamb over your doorpost, and the angel of death will pass over your household and save your firstborn." And so all the Hebrew people that listened to Moses and put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, their firstborn was saved, but it was a night of mourning in Egypt. We come forward to Jesus' day, and on Passover, they're still celebrating Passover because that angel of death passed over their households because of the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus and His disciples were celebrating Passover with a feast, and Jesus knew it would be His last meal. And that's the meal that we remember as the Lord's Supper. Now, you know the blood of the Lamb for us is who? The blood of the Lamb for us is who?
Jesus.
You see, when we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we're putting the blood of the Lamb over our doorposts, and it saves us from that angel of death. Does that mean we don't die physically? No, you know better than that. But spiritually, we have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an eternal relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we celebrate that amazing miracle that God did through Jesus Christ, through His life, death, and resurrection. That is what this bread and this juice is about. In this church, we serve both the wafers and the cups, and bread and the juice by intinction. You'll be given a piece and then dip it in the juice and then take it at that time. Either one is welcome. And we invite you to prepare your hearts and your minds to come forward to receive God's amazing blessing this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, we come before You today, humbly, Lord, celebrating this amazing gift of Holy Communion. This time of year in Advent, Lord, we celebrate You coming to earth as a baby, dwelling among us, God, as the Gospel of John tells us. At the same time, Lord, today we celebrate Your death and Your resurrection. And we ask for Your powerful anointing to come upon us, God, not only as a congregation, but to come upon this bread and this juice. May Your Spirit saturate these elements, God. May Your Spirit be under and around and above and throughout the molecules of the bread and the juice, God, so that when we eat, we will be saturated with Your presence, God, so that we may truly become like Jesus. We love You, Lord, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Christ's body broken, the blood of Christ shed for you, Justin. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Homer, the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sin. Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. All who are longing for a closer relationship with Jesus Christ are welcome to come forward and partake of this. Please come. others who would like communion brought to them?
As we continue with our worship, if the ushers will come forward, we will now take up our tithe and offering.
give all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, His power and bliss. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Dear God, we ask that you bless these gifts. Help them get to places that we won't get to be to. That they'll be to people that we will never meet, but that they will get to know you through the gifts that we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing song is number 203. We'll sing the first and last verse.
As you go this week, I just pray that God blesses you, that you are reminded that you are a child of God, and that you are not alone. Amen?
Amen.
Remember this in this season, what this season is about. We're not about buying a bunch of stuff, are we? I hope not. I hope it's about Jesus, God's Son, coming into our life and this world. And I have those backwards, but you understand what I'm saying. Sharing God's healing power, that presence in our life that only God can provide, that only God can satisfy. So as you go from this place, remember these things. Live as if you are a child of God. Live a blessed life. Don't pray to be blessed because you already are blessed. Live that way in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May you experience God's shalom this week. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week. Amen.